Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, October 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 93, paragraph 1, which begins with, "When dealing with such a person." The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Wednesday, October 20th, is 17954. That's 17,954. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, October 21st, is 17957. That's 17,957. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Patty L. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm a compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts, and my name is Patty. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Pass.
Thanks so much, Patty L. And I'll now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our own group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your telephone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 93 in the chapter Working with Others, and we are going to read and comment on paragraph 1, and I will ask Robin P. to please begin reading.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Hi, it's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. You know, that's so helpful for me. When I first came into the program years ago, I've been abstinent for 5.5 years, thank God, through a vision for you. But before that, years ago, I came into OA, into Gray Sheet, and I saw God on the walls, and I ran out. I was raised atheist, and I was Jewish, but raised atheist. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, they just substituted another crutch for the other one, and I was so desperate for help. And a friend of mine said, you know, if you can just be willing to turn your will and your life over to the care of anything greater than your addiction, because you've been worshiping the food. Because anytime I had any feeling or anything came up, I would run to the food, and food was my God. And so for me, it was this gradual, this was my bridge to God. And thank God that it was such an open, honest, and willing approach to just let the bridge to God happen. And, you know, through that, I actually personally, this is a spiritual program, not a religious program, but I became a Christian. I developed a really very strong faith and prayer meditation practice, but it was due to the fact that no one was pushing it on me. People let me find my way, and that there are a lot of recovered agnostics, you know, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims. This is a spiritual program, and that's why and how it works. And if someone had shoved something, you know, on me, it would not have worked for me. So I'm so grateful for the kindness and the spirit of wanting to help somebody. It was such a blessing for me. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I'm so grateful to be on the phone with all of you. It's so important to me to feel so connected to all of you. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. So we value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might have a chance to share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
encouraging others and how to get started with this work is such an important thing to do. So if you have experience, strength, and hope, we'd love to hear from you.
I could share Rob H.
Rob H.
This is Katie F.
Katie F.
Laura.
Melanie C. Laura R. and Melanie C. Lovely. I've got Rob H., Katie F., Laura R., and Melanie C. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Linda B.
Linda B. Got room for one more? That's fine. Let's go with, did somebody else want to get on? Okay. Let's go with Rob H., Katie F., Laura R., Melanie C., and Linda B. Please start us off with Rob H., and if you're not Rob H., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Yes, this is Rob H. from upstate New York. Compulsive overeater. I look at this when dealing with such a person, you better use everyday language. So describe spiritual principles, because especially for me, I didn't know what they were talking about with spiritual principles. Nobody really said it at the meeting that I went to anyway, but and then it says, you know, the prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which I'm already confused. So, yeah, the theological terms, anything that has to do with the study of God, that was not, I wasn't into that. I was like doing my own thing. I'm not, I don't care about the study of God. I don't have too many convictions except that I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And, I think it's slowly changing, but, if I'm talking to somebody else, things that come up, like the everyday language is stuff like, well, you know, the bariatric surgery seminar, and I know different people have different ideas about this, but I have, when I went to it, I got from it was that I'm either going to have to change the way I eat or get the surgery and then change the way I eat. So that was something that was like everyday language for me. Like I got that from there. Then other stuff was, I was 403 pounds. I was 5 XLT. You know, if people don't know those numbers or that size unless they've been there. And, I had husky pants, you know, man boobs, chub rub, blowouts from pants ripping, using tape, the KT tape for my plantar fasciitis all the time and going to chiropractors a lot. So, taking more food than my share. So I would say that I would go into the back room and just take whatever was there at my job. If there was gifts of candy left back there or whatever, I would just go back and grab it. I never thought of it as stealing because it was there for anybody, but I took away more than I should have. And, other things that I think about is, just not taking my shirt off at the beach, going in the ocean with a huge t-shirt on. Even as a kid, I would do that. So, I appreciate this paragraph. I appreciate the idea of everyday language because that's usually the way that I learn best, too, is when people tell me, straight up what it is. I don't understand.
Gentle reminder.
All right. Thanks. That's all I got. I pass.
Thank you very, very much. Rob H., Katie F., you are up next, followed by Laura R.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And, I think about when I came in, I thought I already was, quote, religious. I thought that I knew so much. And so it really had to be a comfort for me to know that I didn't have to subscribe to any particular faith because for me, I felt like my faith had not worked. And so I really had to surrender to the group and to the other people who had gone before me And I, that's what I was willing to do. And, you know, that's all I can offer to other people. I don't have to try to figure out what religion they are. You know, that comes much later, that I did go back to the religion of my choice and got very involved with that. But that was after I had worked the steps. That was after I'd been abstinent about a year and a half. And then, you know, then I was able to see clearly that it was my higher power who got me to the point of surrender that I needed in order to recover. But those first days and months, you know, nobody shoved that down my throat. Nobody said, you know, you need to get this worked out right now. I just knew that what I was doing wasn't working and I had to surrender. And I didn't know that I had not been surrendering. I felt like I was. I felt like I had put my hands up in surrender 1,000 times. But I'd been in OA for 6 years and been in relapse for a year, and nothing was working. I couldn't put one day, even a half a day or a quarter of a day of abstinence together without, you know, just shoving so much food into my mouth. And so I really needed to surrender to other people and to believe that what, you know, just sort of to adopt what they were doing, because my version of my higher power at that time, I felt like was not working. And so I'm grateful that they, you know, encourage us not to try to shove something down anybody's throat, that we meet people where they are and we help them, you know, we throw them a life preserver and say, you know, just come along and just follow these simple, clear-cut directions.
Thank you very much, Katie F. Laura R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Melanie C.
Thank you. Good morning. Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Great to be on this meeting. Already so many amazing shares. On the page 92, it just talks about that you may talk about, you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. And I think that's the big one, is just really getting us to be hopeless. You know, I mean, we come in here and we're not on a winning streak. And, you know, and I talk to another alcoholic another compulsive overeater, and they tell me that, you know, they offer a solution, but this is their, you know, this is where they were at, and they were hopeless and I'm hopeless. And it's like, oh, so when we get to the spiritual aspect of it, I mean, and again, like when we're taking people through the steps, the first 44 pages up to the, and the doctor's opinion is all about step one. You know, it's like really ingraining, like, what in myself, what is the problem? Like, holy smokes, like, I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, you know? And like, and then we read it right in the beginning, you know, in doctor's opinion, that only a psychic change can help that. Crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, you know, we've tried every imaginable remedy. Crap. Okay. You know, and if we come in here without a higher power, or, and I thought I had one, and I am so agnostic, I didn't even know what that meant either. Like, I didn't believe, oh my gosh, like, I had no idea how to grab onto that power. And it was through the steps that I learned that. But I love that we just, we don't even have to be, we just have to be willing to believe. And that's what's so awesome. Like, I don't have to get a power. The power comes as I go through the steps, whatever that may look like for you. And, you know, I try to say that I knew what my higher power was when I first came in here. And, you know, it's changed 100 times over. Like, it is. All I know today is that I don't know. And all I know is that my power can change me to some other faith tomorrow. Like, I had one faith and I now have another. It just, and when that changed, I realized that I know nothing, that this is where God brought me. God will bring you wherever you need to go. But I know that I need to grab onto something bigger than me. And then again, I experience that power as I go through the steps. I don't even need to name it, you know? So for me, you know, really I do have a faith, but I feel like it's more spiritual, even though it is it's a religion. But then even there, I just feel like my God comes through the experience of the steps. And it's just all experiential, and I don't know. It's just God. It's just hard to comprehend. So I like to say higher power when I talk to others, and I don't even know what my sponsor's faith is, and it just doesn't even matter. And she doesn't know what mine is. Maybe she does, as I was talking through with steps, but like, it just doesn't matter. So what's so cool is that there is a solution here. There is a power that gets us abstinent. if we put the food down and walk through the steps, and it's experiential. And if you haven't experienced it, oh my gosh, it's so worth it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Laura R. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Linda B., and then we'll take another share on page 93, paragraph 1. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Hi, Elaine. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I was so balled up about power because I had tried that too when I was so desperate about my life. And it wasn't all about the weight initially and the food that I was eating. It was just a balled up mess about everything. And I tried that one and I was assured, you know, that the understanding that I had of the power greater than myself that I had been pursuing was going to come and whisk me away and make things all right for this little tiny baby girl that was here. And when I was coming into these rooms, I couldn't ferret out, you know, the difference between this thing, this organized thing that I'd been doing and the spiritual malady that I had. I was all confused. And so now they're going to ask me to sponsor somebody and try to convey that as well. And it's lovely to be able to see that I'm in here for a personal conversion, and that takes time. It's a long period of time to put all these things in place, to have those other veils of other old belief systems moved away, and clearly the main thing here is something outside of myself that I can hold to and have faith and trust in enough, and those particular things come as things come. And what I was encouraged to do is remember when I'm speaking with a new person, simply this: remember my own prejudice when I came in here, that balled up, racketed up mess that I came in here with. Remember that prejudice when I am working with another human being. And so that it didn't become all about this. I'm a master converter, but I'm here to help wake this fellow up, not convert anymore. I would convert somebody on, and perhaps even the clothes that they were going to wear. It was just that ingrained in me because of my own self-worth. I needed to have somebody identify with me so that I knew that I was okay. Now we're going to be working on this idea of awakening and being tender and understanding and remembering where I was at when I was trying to fight my own way out of this wet paper bag of old belief systems that had me so bound and gagged in this particular disease. And when I'm going along here, what was helpful for me and what I was taught was that the first idea of this thing outside myself that I could pass on to somebody else was simply the fact that I had a sponsor and that I was willing to do what they were doing in order to move along. That was a power outside of myself to help tone down this other piece, tone down this idea of the religions of the world or the pixie dust thing kind of coming on. And that seemed to be very effective. And then the next one was the group, you know, the other people that I was meeting and finding that they were doing something that worked and worked on that particular. And so just move from there. And I'll pass. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Linda B., you're up next, and then we'll take a lineup on page 93, paragraph 1. Please share with us, Linda B.
Good morning, everyone. It's Linda B. here from Ontario, Canada. I'm not working with others but I wanted to share on the line where it said, already be confused. He may already be confused. That was me. That's still me some days. It's still me from days. I still don't have it figured all out. And I'm trying to be okay with that. It's okay. I don't have to have all the answers. More and more of them become revealed as I continue to work these steps. I came in here so insecure. Well, I still am so insecure and anxious and wanting to do everything perfectly. And so I just wanted your higher power. Tell me what your higher power is. Tell me. I don't want to find my own in case it's not the right one. And now, you know, I'm learning to just take it easy. And there's moments in meditation where I experience, I almost like to call it a greater power, because higher power, I think it's above me, but I think it's all-encompassing, and it's just this all-encompassing greater power
that has no beginning and no end, that's deep within me. And it's taken me a long time, because I'm in another program, so it's taken me a long time to be able to relax and take it easy. And it's not rocket science. It's just a willingness to believe. Willingness is the key. And I'm learning that with each day. And sometimes I take a step back, and sometimes I stay two steps forward. And you know, I'm crying out to my sponsor, well, what am I doing here? And anyways, it can be confusing, and I need to remember, just take it easy. Just keep breathing. And it's the breathing work that really helps me get centered again and just into that deep stillness. And the AA 12 and 12 and step 3, when they talked about the house with electricity running through it, we can't see it, we can't touch it, but it's there. And I really hung on to that for a long, long time. It's just there. It's experiential. And anyways, thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Linda D. So though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know you'd like to share.
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Marla S.
Marla S. Anybody else?
Kathy D.
Kathy D.
Mm-hmm.
Dianor. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay. I've got Michelle F., Marla S., Kathy B., and Dion R. Please share with us, Michelle.
Hi, and thank you for your service. So when it says, we're on 93, where it says, when dealing with such a person, you better use everyday language. I find I don't have to really stress about that, because the Big Book does it here for me. There are other moments in this book where they talk about what the spiritual awakening is without using those godlike terms. And I like the one on page 27 where it says, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. I use that as a description of this spiritual awakening when I talk to people, and I am also really happy to say that there's agnostic AA meetings and there's atheist AA meetings, and people who are atheist and agnostic recover in those rooms. So if you don't have a really fond connection with God, that's okay. That it's living by spiritual principles, and those you can get without having to necessarily be into the God thing. And I haven't had too many people stop working with me because of the God thing. So I think what they do in the Big Book works. And I just encourage anybody, if you don't think you have anything to offer, you do. You're really just the guide. So, you know, when you look at it that way, you can put aside that worry, because it's not about you, and just ask your higher power to help you be a good sponsor. And that's really worked for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. And Marla S., you're up next, followed by Kathy B.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just great. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, guys. My name's Marla. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, very grateful, in Iowa, and happy to have a chance to share on the line today. You know, when I was in my addiction for years, I was very, very spiritual. I prayed a lot, God, wake me up skinny. And it didn't happen, and I was very angry about that, and I thought God had failed me. As I came into recovery this time, it was clear that I was absolutely a failure on my own, and I could not do this no matter how many times I tried. And I think it was that the absolute desperation that led me to stop questioning, what is that power? How do I get it? Because, again, if I'm in the ocean drowning and bleeding and surrounded by sharks and someone throws out a life preserver, I'm not going to throw it back and go, I don't like that color, please get me an orange one. You know, so depending on how desperate people are, the everyday language for me, like when I help people or try to help people with this concept, it's kind of, I just bring it to a real simple level. It's like, number one, can you do this by yourself? No. Okay, great. So you don't have the power. You need some power, right? Yeah. Does it matter what we call it? No. As long as it's going to help you. So if I'm willing, I ask. And if I ask, I usually get, as long as I follow the action steps. So if people are really like struggling with that, well, what is God or how do I find God? It's kind of like, I just ask them, here's the deal. When you were born, this has been really helpful for people that can't do the God thing. I just say, did you create yourself? You know, it's like, you know, someone took a sperm and an egg and put them together and made a you. Did you create yourself? No. Can you make mountains? No. Can you make an ocean? No. We don't have to understand what it is. All I have to know, and all they have to know, is that they don't have that power. Whatever it is that had the power to make me, because I sure as hell didn't make myself, then that is the power I can turn to and wake up to the consciousness of it being there within me. So a lot of times I just encourage people, close your eyes, just get quiet, listen to your own breathing. I don't give myself breath. So I don't have to question it. They don't have to know what it is, explain it, or understand it. We just have to know that we aren't the biggest thing there is in the world. And whatever created me, if I get quiet enough and I listen and tune in, that creator or that higher thing within me, without me, around me, wherever it is, I'm not it. And all I have to do is seek the help of that and try to wake up to it. And those kind of simple words help a lot of people not, you know, try to be so specific. It doesn't matter what our religion is or what we call it. And that's been helpful for me in working with others and myself. And I'll pass
the reminder.
Yeah, have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much, Marla S. Kathy B., sure. You're up next, and you'll be followed by Dion R., and then we may have time for a couple more comments on page 93, paragraph 1. Please share with us, Kathy B.
Hi, this is Kathy B., compulsive overeater. This is like a very touchy, you know, we have to treat, you know, somebody who's new with kid gloves. But, you know, it's not hard to do if they have the gift of desperation and they're willing to listen. To try to explain this to somebody who, or just try to explain to somebody who's not looking to or admitting they're having a problem is really hard. You know, but when I very, very first was introduced to programs, I started in Al-Anon, and I'll never forget my first spiritual awakening. I heard the birds chirping when I was leaving a meeting, like I noticed that. Where when I was in my illness, and I still had a long way to go yet, I hated the birds. I hated construction workers. I hated to get up in the morning. But I just started going back to what I was raised with, my religion that I was raised with, and I started saying prayers. And, you know, I would explain it like, you know, to believe in something that you can't see. And something that is bigger than you, like the ocean. Like when I stand in front of the ocean, I feel totally powerless. You know, I can't see how far it goes. And then I wonder how. It, you know, it was made and things like that, you know, there are no answers, you know. So to believe in something that you can't see, that's all I would say. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. Dion R., you're up next, and then I think we'll have time for a couple more shares.
Yes,
Dion R.?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. This is Dion R. Good morning. This is Dion R. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. When dealing with such a person, everyday language describe the spiritual principles. I was looking at that, and I was all the wonderful shares. And I got so many good ideas of how to work with others who doesn't believe or have prejudice, even the ones who do believe. But the paragraph prior reminds me the main thing is that let the prospect know that he or she be willing to believe in a power greater than themselves. And that kind of, my sponsor always reminded me, my former sponsor was gone on, but she always reminded me that a higher power is something greater than you. Of course, she knew all the prejudice I had about the idea of God and through the past experience. So she would say a power greater can be the group, as many people have said, or whatever your own conception. And a lot of times I would just say, when I work with others, Mother Nature, you know, and I would look at that. She said I could use that, whatever, that I knew it was something greater than me besides the food that was killing me. So a power greater than me was the group. It was her at one time. And she quickly reminded me that she wasn't the higher power, but she was a power greater than what I was believing in. And then she asked me to borrow her higher power. So just try it out for a day or two, you know. You can always go back to your own misery. And her higher power, all I knew was loving. It wasn't that if I thought bad, I would get, you know, like spiritually whipped or, you know, or something bad would happen to me. So I like that idea, to have that loving higher power and create one of my own. If I had a perfect world, what would my higher power look like? She allowed me to do that. And if I'd have done that the way I was raised, I was like, no, that's sacrilegious. But to be able to do that, to work these steps, it got me through. And today, yes, I have my own conception of a higher power, somewhat like the one I was brought up in religious, but it's been tweaked a lot. A lot of stuff I've seen people added in because of for whatever reason. But today, the higher power I have is not the same one that I was brought up with. He's loving and, yes, all reverence. And it's okay working with others to allow them to have their own. And not even, but they have to have something. According to this book, it says you do have to have a spiritual principle. It may not be, I mean, I don't know. It has to be something spiritual. I keep hearing this all through the book. I know others say it don't have to be, but to me it has to be something spiritual outside. But in the beginning,
just a reminder.
Thank you, Elaine. In the beginning, no, it did not have to be that. But it was just something to keep getting me going and keep going and keep going and realize I could do it. I couldn't do it by myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be of service. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dion R. We have time for, I think, two more shares.
Cheryl
three
A.D.
More shares, maybe. Cheryl A.D.
Lois B.
Lois P. And
Michelle
possibly
E.
Michelle
and
E.
M.
Okay. Not positive we'll have time for you, NM, but we will try. Okay. So Cheryl A.D., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. This is Cheryl A.D. from Compulsive Recovering on Step 12 now in as a compulsive eater. And from Ventura, California, when dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language. No use arousing any prejudice about theological terms. So to me, what this means, I just felt moved to say something this morning because I did have an experience with a sponsee this morning. full disclosure, not an OA sponsee, but regarding this very issue and regarding a lack of trust that there was a higher power, God, who would take care of her. The thing that stands out to me is that this is, sorry for that background noise, this is about that person's understanding. So step 11 says, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact as we understood. What God had me say in response was, what I've heard somebody who does a lot of speaking on the podcast on special editions say, that why do these terrible things happen? I don't know. And that, you know, the one thing that I understand about higher power and myself is I'm human and I'm imperfect. And that's what makes me different than my higher power. And, you know, what is your higher power? So she actually made, started saying what she thinks her higher power is. And I wrote it down as she was talking. I don't know why. God just said, write it down. So wrote it down, and then we had a little talk about where we feel God's presence, and she had an example, and she shared something that had happened recently where she felt she had asked her higher power for help, and her higher power had been there. So she shared that, and so I wrote that down. And then I took a picture of it and sent it to her. You know, it was all okay with her. I checked it out. But that conversation, I think, was beneficial for us both this morning. And the thing that helps me the most is just starting with me and me connecting with my higher power and asking, higher power, how would you have me be of service to this person? What words should I use? What would you like me to do here? And that's about all I have. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl A.D. Lois P., you're up next, followed by Michelle E.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine, and thank you for your service. This is Lois. Hello?
Please go ahead. Sorry about that.
this is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. The concept of God is something I grew up with. I was given the concept. I was raised in a traditional religion, and I loved God, the God of my understanding of that time. However, the vastness and the unfathomable nature of something greater that has created all of this, as someone previously said, that's the essence of what I have found to be the relationship, the true relationship with higher power. And it's something that developed only after I came into vision, went through the steps, totally surrendered, cleared out so much debris, emotional debris, I didn't really realize that I still had, doing the fourth and fifth steps, eighth and ninth, making amends, clearing away the blocks that did allow me to become free and open to something that truly is so much greater and so much more loving and more supportive than I ever imagined a higher power could be. So this isn't something that can be given to another person. It's a very intimate, sensitive, personal relationship that can be formed between the individual and their God or their higher power. And I have found it comes through living and working in the steps, which I've always considered the stairway to heaven. And when I've cleared away, or thank you through grace, when things have been cleared away on a daily basis, that prevent me from being open to this loving presence, it's there. It's really there. And then a deepening happens, a much more intimate relationship happens once myself and the other person, whoever they may be, starts to open to this greater reality. And that comes through living in these wonderful steps that take away the blocks, as it says in the big book, that prevent us from having this beautiful experience of being in the fourth dimension, living in a different relationship with the God that I had a concept of in the beginning, now I have a relationship with. So this is not something I can give to another person. I can only help them to walk through the steps, holding their hand with them, and just to help them know there is that light that will be waiting for them as soon as they open and surrender and allow things to be cleared from them that will then open the door to this beautiful, beautiful divinity that is within everyone and is in everything around us. So no concepts, but a beautiful, loving, intimate, personal relationship is what can be found. And it's not something I can give to someone else. It's for them on their beautiful journey alone. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Perfect timing. Okay, speaking of perfect timing, Michelle E., you're up next, but and Emma, I don't think we're going to have time for your share. Thank you so much for offering, though. So, Michelle E., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle E., and I am in California. This paragraph really resonated with me, where it says, when dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. While now I get the honor of being a sponsor, I will have to say for some time I was really lost. What are spiritual principles? In my home life, I wasn't aware of those things, spiritual principles, values, no formal traditions. And my childhood didn't have structure in a traditional sense, no real container there. Everything was pretty fluid. While I did attend church, many of my religious experiences, I loved the church. However, there's a difference between healthy and unhealthy religion. And I think early on I experienced a lot of unhealthy religion. And what I'm grateful for and what blows my mind is that I now get to attend a healthy meeting here at Vision. And it's so baffling that the Big Book brought a concept that I was always taught in church, that my body was the temple of God. And I used to think, oh, that sounds nice, that's cool, but certainly nothing I experienced on my own. It was only going through the steps and my sponsor taking me through these steps in a loving way that I now experience what it's like to be inside of the temple. I was like a homeless beggar just sitting on the steps outside of the temple for so long, and that was the suffering. And now I reside within the temple, and I feel the warmth of that eternal flame. And it's been such a powerful experience. And so whatever I can share with another through warmth and love, I will do that. And the principles I've learned are step one, honesty. Step two, hope. Step three, faith. Step four, courage. Step five, integrity. Step six, willingness. Step seven, humility. Step eight, love. Step nine, discipline. Step 10, perseverance. Step 11, spirituality. And step 12, service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Michelle E., and everybody that shared today. Such an incredible meeting. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.